We feel like the Lord's been talking to us, and I'd like to share some of the thoughts that I've had. In Proverbs 14 and 1, maybe we'll start there. I'm thinking this morning about some privileges that we have that really are they're life-changing for us, and I think many times we overlook them and don't see them right before our very eyes. But first, let's start in Proverbs 14 and 1. It says here, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." You know, I wonder what all Solomon was thinking about when he wrote this. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I have to think he's speaking here of more than two befores. I don't really think he was just talking about that. But we could think about building a house, and there's a lot goes into it. A house can be a really fine structure. It can be built well and be very a place where much happiness can be. A house can be that way. But I want to think a little deeper than that, that a house can be somewhere that houses a family. It can be somewhere that when you read the different depictions that the Lord gives of His church and of His body, you see it called the church of God. You might see the family mentioned, the family of God, the body of Christ, the building of God, New Jerusalem. You might see it likened to a marriage or Mount Zion, all of those things. And each one of them are, each one of them have significance and bring out parts of this idea of this household that we have. And I want to think for a moment about our home. Every wise woman builds her house, and she, I believe, can put things into that, that can really affect the rest of them. And vice versa, of course. I think about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. We're quite familiar with that. Many of us are. And it speaks of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 and 23. And it says here, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." Now I notice the first verse that we read there says, her husband is known in the gates. And that was a place of perhaps responsibility. It was a place of honor, actually. And we see how, to me, when this mentions this, I believe that the writer is telling us that there's some influence that this woman has that inspires confidence in her husband. There's something that this woman had that has a real influence in her husband. And you notice there are those, and I have seen it, that build their house, and there are those that pluck their house down. I have seen both sides of that. I have seen those that tear down instead of inspire confidence. I have seen those that work against instead of inspiring confidence. I have seen those that that there is never that really working together like greased machinery, if you want to say it, for lack of a better word. Do you know that God has privileges for us right in our home? And it is a blessed place. You know, I believe the man inspires confidence in the woman too. This man that's known in the gates, it talks about his wife being a virtuous woman. You know, I believe we have a lot more influence over one another's lives and inspiring one another than we realize we do sometimes. I think if we are a disinterested party, or we have ills that we carry with us about our relationship, you know, it's going to stop that confidence that can be inspired. It's not going to be there. And yet at the same time, when we do, and when we love one another, and we come home and our home is filled with love, and when we bring love home to our home and fill it with that love, do you know that those are overwhelming and overcoming things that overcomes the darkness that's all around us? And all around us we see where things have to break up. They have to, you know, well, we're not compatible. Folks, there is no such thing as two Christians that cannot live together that have taken those vows. And so I want to encourage us today that God has for us some things that build confidence. You see men that are successful. I want to tell you, many of those men, most of them that are truly successful, they've got somebody back there backing them. Those women that are confident, this woman, read Proverbs 31 sometime. You're not talking about someone that has their head all bowed down where they can't look up at life. Here's someone that has confidence and strength. And we read, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. And I think about these verses. I'm coming to something else. I know I'm talking about the church this morning. But I want us to think about our relationship here first, because it's so involved with the church. And it says, she shall rejoice in time to come. You know what that means? That means that she's going to raise those children and she's going to put all that time and effort into them and all that heartache and headache and staying up late at night and serving when she's sick and all of those things that's going to happen. But in time to come, she's going to rejoice. At the time, many times, it's going to be a heavy load. And it's going to be sometimes seemingly more than can. How am I going to do this? I don't feel like I'm doing good enough. And sometimes that's the way it is in life, isn't it? Sometimes we're working through things. The load gets heavy and we're like, Lord have mercy, I'm not enough for this. You know what, folks? She shall rejoice in time to come. I want to encourage us this morning that the Lord has for you and I a blessed haven of rest that He wants us to partake of. This woman overcame those things. Yes, she rose early and she stayed up late. Yes, she worked hard and put a lot into it. And I believe you'll find her husband with this kind of situation. You read into that, her husband is known as an honorable man. Someone that brings in the groceries. Someone that gets up and works when he feels sick lots of times. Somebody that pushes when he doesn't feel like it. Somebody that humbles himself when he doesn't think he should have to be the one to humble. Do you know that these things come at a cost? But the prize is that there are some homes that are happy. There are some homes that are full of contentment and joy. And they have to fight for that. They have to fight just like all the rest of us have to fight. But I want to tell you, the prize is that the Lord has some things for us. And I want to encourage us this morning. I want to read over here in Psalms 128 and 1 to 6. This psalm is very special to me because when I first started in life, in marriage And that time of life, the Lord gave me a couple of things, and this was one of them, this 128th Psalm. And it says, blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. This is speaking of a husband to begin with here. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But it says, blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. You know what that word blessed means? It means happy. It means, I'm reading the definition of the Greek word, happiness. How happy? Blessed. That's what that word means. And it says here, is everyone that feareth the Lord. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. We're talking about a situation here where God does something for this kind of person. And it says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Do you know this morning that the Lord wants that to be so in our lives today? And it takes more than one to do that. But I will tell you, if all of us in our homes will set it in our hearts and minds, the prize is this very thing here. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And it goes on, and we just read it. You can read it yourself and meditate on it. There's a wealth in that little psalm this morning. But I'm thinking today about the tremendous influence that we have on one another. I want to mention, just, I'm going to read something here that someone wrote in a second, but I'm thinking about Ephesians 5. I'm just going to kind of quote from it, 25 to 32. But it talks about husbands loving your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, and going on, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Do you know that the Lord's work with the church works such a work in it that it says that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Do you know what? When the Lord does that for the church, and the church brings back to Him the kind of glory and beauty that it's meant to bring, do you know that that's a glorious thing to the Lord? And He loves that. And He said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. When we love our wife like that, we're loving ourselves. Did you know that? Because you know when you love your wife like that and she loves you back, how much better does it get in life than that? When she supports you, when she strengthens you, when she's there by your side. Now this is a two-way street, folks. But I'm thinking this morning about the great value there is in this. And we see here how that when we love our wife, and wives, when you love your husband, do you know that you're loving yourself too? Now, we don't do it just for a selfish reason necessarily. Well, we certainly don't. But do you know this morning, when we do that, it brings a blessedness that nothing else can. But it comes at a cost to ourself and to our own selfishness. Because as Brother Stanley used to say, and I heard him say it plenty of times, all marriage troubles start with selfishness. Somewhere there's selfishness at the bottom of it. Now, folks, I want us to think about something this morning. If that be true, then along the life here and there, we might have to take a look at ourselves and think about that. If all of it starts from selfishness somewhere, then there might be some places that we have to really work on. This virtuous woman I'm guessing that she came into life with many needs. And she grew to meet those needs. She changed as she went. She met the challenges and she humbled herself to greater service, to more humility, to more giving of herself. The man that loves his wife as himself, he humbles himself to give up his way for her. Because that's what we do when we love ourselves. We want it just like we want it, don't we? We like it that way. But when we love our wife like that, then we humble ourselves to give to her like that too. That comes at a cost to us. And so I want to read now a little article that Brother Fari Matthews wrote. And it was in the little Sunday school quarterly. Rosie was telling me a little about the Sunday school lesson. So I jumped in there when I was telling her a little about this lesson. So I went in and read this. It's so good. I copied it out. I want to read it to you if you'll just listen closely. It is a beautiful thing to be a part of a home where there is harmony and purpose, where there is joy, laughter, and a genuine enjoyment in being among those who you truly love. Do you know that that's some of the fruit you pick off of this kind of tree, folks, is joy and laughter and fun? It is. We're not talking about evil fun. We're talking about the good kind, the good stuff that the Lord provides. Joy in the heart, laughter together, enjoying one another. These are things that this writer says it's a beautiful thing to be a part of a home where there is harmony and purpose, where there is joy and laughter and a genuine enjoyment in being among those who truly love you. A refuge where each member is considered precious and valuable, and the concerns of each one, no matter how small or insignificant, are addressed. A place where discipline and correction are given by the parents in gentleness with an eye toward pointing all to God's will in every situation. Where all of one's needs, be they spiritual, emotional, temporal, or physical, are met. When one has experienced living in a home like this, this sense of belonging to a unit with eternal purpose keeps those who have grown up in such a blessed haven near and always seeking for ways to return. Am I reading too fast? Are we getting it? Okay. When we grow up in that kind of a home, it keeps those that grew up there wanting to come back. It's a blessed place, isn't it? I believe it is much the same in God's church. The security found in an atmosphere, I want to remember that word, atmosphere, of godly love, gentleness, and kindness, draws God's universal family together. We are knit together, as the Apostle Paul states in Colossians 2. And this familial bond fosters the willingness to receive the reproof and instruction that God imparts to us through the anointing of His ministers to preach His Word and through the precious dealings of His Holy Spirit. In such an environment, the desire to remain in God's presence and in fellowship with His people is strong. In an environment like this, the desire to remain in God's presence and in fellowship with His people is strong. There's a desire and a love and a magnetic force, if I can call it that, from that kind of situation that really draws people to want to be there. I have personally experienced what the psalmist expressed, that it is much more fulfilling to serve in the kingdom of God with others who are like-minded than to explore anything the world has to offer. There is, however, a role each one of us has in nurturing this bond of perfectness. Our Heavenly Father will always demonstrate His care for His children, but it is also important that we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, maintain this sense of belonging together in humility and charity as we each strive to carry out the purpose for which God has called us. I don't know how many of you got all of that, but I will tell you, it is such a challenge to me. Saints, that just fits so well with some of the thoughts that I've had. And I want to challenge us today that we be knit together in love. And I want to read a couple of scriptures in a minute that Paul wrote about that. Folks, this congregation is like a home. It's like a family. We are part of a larger congregation of the Church of God. We know that. But you know what? We have this little place here, just like we have a home. Our home is going to be what we put into it. It really is. The kind of home we have, if one of the parents drags their feet, it's not going to happen like it should. But you know what? If they both get in there and decide, whatever it takes, however humble I have to be, however much I have to put into it, I'm going to do it by the grace of God. Do you know that the prize is the joy, the enjoyment, the love, the drawing together? You don't have to say much for the kids to want to come home to that kind of place. And so this morning, I want to encourage us. Folks, we have a congregation here. I long to see a closer knittedness in our congregation. I appreciate what we have, and I appreciate our people deeply and greatly, every one of you. But I want to say this. Folks, we can have what we put into it. We can have a place where we are knitted together as a fabric, where we are intertwined and interlaced, and where when the burden comes down, it's borne by all of us. But you know what it takes for that to happen? We've got to not only put our part into that, but we've got to be willing for others to put their part into that as well. It takes a real giving and taking when we live that kind of way. The home that we've been talking about, the words that we've read, that the scriptures tell us that can be, that we read about Proverbs 31, and we read about Psalms 128 and other places in the scriptures, and we read Ephesians the 5th chapter, and we read our privilege in the Lord. Folks, not all of us are going to be able to have that in our home, because sometimes there's a counterpart that may not be willing to be a part of that. But do you know this morning that the Lord has that for you and me in the church of a certainty? Every one of us. And I'm thinking, and I've had my burden is, and I know I'm not going to get to all of this today, but really, the deep burden that I have is, Lord, work through each member of this congregation. Let each member feel their strength in the Lord. Let them be built up and able to exercise to their full capacity. You know, that takes something, doesn't it? It takes something from all of us. And for that to happen, we have to decide we want it to happen. And I want to, if we can just put that in our mind right now, write that on the board of our mind. I want this to happen. I want to have a place like that. What I have found is that there are people, and sometimes we don't like this. There are people that can become very dependent on others. Too dependent. But what I've seen more than that is an independence. And that's more like America today, where we have our own thing and our own place and our own way, and we're okay without. But folks, this whole thing is very dependent on all of us putting in our part. Every one of us. The scriptures liken, as we mentioned a while ago, it likens the body of Christ to a number of things. It likens it to a house, the house of God. It likens it to a family. It likens it to to the building of God, the New Jerusalem. There's a number of things, and you could go on with those kind of descriptions. But I will tell you, I believe the Lord has a place for us that's closer, that's deeper, but it takes the same thing that it takes at home. It takes a commitment to it. It takes us putting a part in. It takes us being counted on. It takes us being there. It takes us being willing to go beyond what we feel. It takes us being willing to forgive. It takes us being willing to exercise ourselves over our fear. It takes us being willing to step out and say, I want that. I'm willing to fight for that. I'm willing because, folks, though we may not have it in our home, and it may not be possible on this level in our home because we have to cooperate for that to happen. But folks, we can have it here. We can have it here. And so I want to encourage us. There is hardly a better thing than brethren that dwell together in unity. There's hardly a better thing than brethren who are knitted together in love. Do you know that that takes more than just simply having, well, I love everybody. I want to be. Folks, it takes a real putting together and knitting ourselves together. It takes seeing a picture that's bigger than just what I want. But I will tell you, the joy of it is this. It's a draw to those we want to be drawn to this thing. It's a joy when we can go to a place like that this morning. Lord, bless us today. It's heavy. It's so heavy on my heart. I hope it's coming out. I believe, folks, that the Lord wants to give us. He wants to deepen our love. He wants to deepen our interdependence. Do you believe that this morning? I want us to think about this whole scenario. Folks, if we are not willing to give and take, and I don't mean just give and take problems, I'm talking about giving ourself, giving our time, giving our energy, giving because we see a bigger picture. Because for me, myself, it might seem like, well, just independence is the way for me. My life's going pretty good. Folks, we need you. And you need us. And your family needs us. And the Lord needs us. And I believe if we can get the picture of what we've been talking about and reading about this morning, I believe we can see something that is so magnetic. It is so drawing unto us if we can really see that. Colossians 2 and 1 to 3. I will tell you, if you want to really get some good about working together and the things of life, read Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and Ephesians, the 4th chapter. It'll help you settle in things. Verse 1, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts, Paul said, I wish you knew. I wish you knew what a great conflict I have in my heart for them. What a great desire, what a great thrust, whatever. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you know that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are deep? They're called treasures for a reason, because they're valuable. They're worth a lot. And it says here that that in God, in the Father, and Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so I want to think a little bit this morning about being knit together. Clark says this about that scripture. The word, and he writes the Greek word there, which is the true reading, but both of equal import here, signifies being united as the beams or the timbers of a building by mortises and pins. The visible church of Christ cannot be in union with God unless it have unity in itself, and without love, this unity is impossible. And so when we start looking at this whole picture of our home and of the church, the first thing is for us to see it for what it is, and for us to see the kind of love, the kind of understanding, the vision that it takes for us to invest ourselves in that kind of situation. And so when it talks about being knit together, you know what that means, don't you? That means this thread's going this way and this one's going this way, and they're knitting together. And when you get things knit like that, you don't put pressure on one strand. It's all of them at once, or none of them. And so, folks, it's a blessed thing to be knit together in love. And that's our privilege this morning. And I want to encourage us that we ask the Lord, Lord, what effort can I put into this? Would you wake up my mind to know how that I can be more knit together with my brethren? Because I really believe that there's some secrets here that when that happens, it's like a home that happens. That center of strength becomes something that you can take to the world. It becomes a light that is set on a hill. Folks, that's the way the congregation is too. We are on our own, everyone as a separate strand, very weak compared to when we are knit together in love. And that takes something this morning. It takes something because, folks, we're different. And we will always be different. We are different personalities. We're not made the same. Some are very strong. Some are overbearing strong. And you know what? We got to work through those things, don't we? And some are very timid and weak and won't step up. And we've got to work through all of that. But you know what? Let's take the challenge to do that today. Let's take the challenge that I'm not going to let myself be a single strand. I'm going to be knitted. I'm going to be knitted together. Folks, we want the work of the Lord to be done. Let's knit together. Let's be there. Let's be counted on. Let's, when there's things that we can do, let's do them together. I know there's great joy when we come together. We enjoy one another's fellowship and time. I believe that I'm within the scriptures here as I'm talking about these things. If you look on down in the 19th verse of that same chapter, Paul mentions that again. And not holding the head from which all the body, now he's talking about it like a body. He says, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. You see, the increase that comes, the level of anointing, the blessing that comes, the level of desire that it produces in other people to want to be there. Folks, he says that, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Those things come when we allow the work of the Lord in our lives. I encourage us to ask the Lord, Lord, how do I be knit together in a better way with the congregation? How can I become more of a part? I need their strength and they need mine. The Lord might tell you it's more than three or four people's job to lead out in prayer. He might tell you, let's lead out in prayer. Let's just be counted on. When something's there, be counted on and be there. when it's time for, I want to encourage us when it's time for Sunday school to be there. See what we have here, folks. This is what we have, what we make it, what the Lord blesses it to be. And I'm not discounting the Lord, but I'm just challenging us today, okay? I'm not throwing anything at anybody. I want to challenge us about something else. I know some of us have moved up some. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's move up some more. Could we do that? When you walk in the back door, if everyone was sitting up toward the front and you could feel a cohesiveness there, I think that would say something. Do you? I'm just asking you, do you think that would? Is this part of the gospel this morning? I believe it is. Because folks, it's what we put into it. If we allow lackluster involvement in our life, if we allow ourselves to just be independent or just be totally dependent and not putting in and just trying to siphon off, and that's not the case with most of us here anymore. I mean, in America, we're not like that too much. But folks, listen. I believe the Lord has something so good for you and me this morning. Galatians 6:2. It takes communication. It takes a real dying to ourselves at times. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know that's the law of Christ? Bear ye one another's burdens. What's that sound like? That sounds kind of like we're taking upon ourselves somebody else, their needs, their troubles, becoming knit together in love. I believe if we realize the blessing of interdependence and bearing each other's burdens and actually bearing weight, folks, it means something when somebody comes up and says, how's this thing you've been asking for prayer? How's it doing? I've been praying for you. You know what? That just makes a little connection, doesn't it? It just makes you realize this person's interested in me. Is this part of the gospel? I believe it is today. Psalms 84:1. To the a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. You know what that word amiable means? It means loved. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. I'm going to drop on down, and it says, O Lord of hosts, verse 8, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, this morning, this psalmist got a hold of this here. And he begins by talking about how amiable are the places of worship. How loved are those places. I believe the Lord wants to increase that in our lives this morning. But it's going to come at a cost to all of us. And we're going to have to put some in for that kind of atmosphere to happen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And maybe look at starting at 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 through 22. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Or if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. You know, this morning, I hope that we can all look at this body that the Lord has and say, Lord, I want my place in that body. There's not a body in here that every member in it doesn't have something important. God made it that way. Folks, they can take some out. I remember them taking tonsils out. And they didn't know. They don't know anything that it does. But people that have them out, they get sicker after that. What happens? They just didn't realize God just don't shoot blanks. You know, there's things that God made for a reason, didn't he? Do you know this morning, can you say or can I that I'm not important? I'm talking about yourself or me. Can you say I'm not important? Can you say I don't have much to offer? I can't offer anything? Do you know who we're speaking against when we say that? We're speaking against God. Because he made you and I with a gift. He made you and I with a special place to play in his church and in his body. And if we are saved, the Lord has places that he wants us to operate and work. And he wants us to go on and be filled and full of his Spirit. And he wants us, his body, to operate by the Spirit of God like that. I want to urge us this morning that we ask the Lord, okay, Lord, maybe I've just been there. Maybe I've just felt like I was doing a good thing by being there. And that is, I'm glad we're here. But folks, I just want to encourage us. I hope that we can see. We're not talking about getting got onto this morning. We're talking about, folks, I see a place. Can we see that place this morning? A place where it's sweeter. It's better. It's more free to operate. It's more where we decide to do the things that we're supposed to do. That we decide to step up to the plate and ask the Lord, Lord, what place am I supposed to play? Now, I know that's all different for everybody. Not everybody's going to preach and not everyone's going to teach. But folks, some are going to preach and some are going to teach. And some are going to sweep and some, and those all interact. I know. That's fine. That's a good thing. But this morning, what could we ask the Lord? Lord, I want to be interconnected in your body like that. I don't want to go home and say, I don't really have a place. Because folks, that's something against God himself. I don't believe God made any of us like that. He wants us to have a place this morning. And let's seek that today. It says here, If they were all one body, one member, where were the body? Maybe we feel like, well, I can't do what such and such does. Well, maybe you're not supposed to do that. But the body has many members. And a lot of them you never even see. There's things inside our body we don't even know. But you know what? They're part of our body. They're important parts of our body. And do you know the Lord wants us to recognize that? And be interwoven with his people. I really believe this morning. I think that if we judge this lightly, we make a big mistake. Because the very things that we want it to do, the very ones that we want to draw, are drawn, folks, by the love that they feel here and by the work of the Lord here. I remember a sister that wasn't raised in a good situation. But she would come as a little girl, and now she's an old sister, an old woman. She would come here to Guthrie as a little girl, and she said she can still remember the warmth she felt when she came to camp meeting. I want to encourage us today to open our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, I really want it to be, I want to be a part of that stepping up a level. Is that okay? Is it all right for us to move up? I've always looked at my home as one that needs more and more and more and more. Lord, give us more. And the more He gives, the better it is. It's that way in His body, in His church too. Let's involve ourselves in that way. Where did I read down to? And now there are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. And you might think that of yourself. But it says, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Folks, the Lord doesn't want there to be any schism, any working back and forth, any troubles that we don't work out. You know what? We can have that in our homes. Or we can get rid of it and we can have love. And we can have that in our congregation. Or we can have love. And so I thank the Lord this morning for what we have. It's a beautiful picture. And I've often said, I don't know anywhere I would rather live than right here among the saints. I don't know any other places, any other congregations than here. I like it here. I love it here. I love the people here, and I feel loved here. And so this morning, as we look at these things, let's ask the Lord. I had so many things on my mind as far as folks singing, praying, prayer warriors. You know, that's so important this morning. Deacons, trustees, children's teachers, cooks, groundskeeping, all of these things are part of this body, isn't it? I want to encourage us something, okay? I know that we can't always do this, and I know that. And I can't always. But let's try to overlap and interlap. Let's try to work together when we do have a time such as a work day. Let's try to pull together in that and be together and rub shoulders. If nothing else, just for the sake of that. Just for the sake of that. Not even because I have so much to give or you. But because we want this thing to work. And we want to know each other better. I appreciated what Brother Craig said the other day. And I'm waiting to see this happen. And he was talking about inviting some over to your house or to eat or to whatever that you never would or never have spent time with. Folks, I know that it's a spiritual thing that gives us the fellowship that we have. I'm well aware of that and fully believe that. But the happiness and the joy that we have together has more than only that. We're drawn together in a home. But what makes that home good and right is when we both begin to seek those things that make it that way. We put ourselves into it. We put effort into it. We talk about things, how to make it better. Can we do that? Is it wrong to do that in a congregation? I think it's only right. How can we make it better? How can we serve one another better? How can it be more like a close-knit family? How can we be more effective How can it be that our light goes out to all the world in a brighter way? It comes by effort and it comes by work. I know that our fellowship in the Spirit is by the Spirit of God. It is because of that that we have in our hearts that we have fellowship one with another. But, folks, if we're going to work closely together and be knitted together, it's going to have to be more than just that. We're going to have to give ourselves to those things and allow the Lord to work in us. I'm amazed at the different scriptures that you read at the end of Ephesians 2, and it talks about the house. I don't remember exactly how it's written, but it speaks about God's body being like a house. And then we see it, as we mentioned a while ago, and he speaks of it as a family. And we read of it, and we think of it as a family, and we think of it as a body. You know what? All these things, they tell us something, don't they? Each one of them tell us a little more about what it can be like if we want it to be. We just have to want it to be. We have to be willing to pay that kind of price. Willing to say, I will be interconnected. I will be there. I will be counted on. I'm not going to be independent. I'm going to be interdependent. I'm going to be interwoven. I'm going to be knitted together in love. And they're going to know I'm there. That takes work. That takes effort this morning. But the things that we reap from it is just amazingly good. I love those things. How blessed, how good it is when brethren dwell together in unity. How good it is when they worked through their problems. How good it is when they've humbled their hearts to one another and said, you know, we're brethren. We be brethren, folks. It can be close, but it takes the grace of God and it takes work. Let's set our hearts on those things. I believe what we'll see something that feeds all of us in a better way, a deeper way. And like I say, I'm not talking about us not having anything. I'm just talking about it being better. I'm talking about you and I being able to come to the place where we feel comfortable enough that we exercise in the Lord. There's an atmosphere. I noticed that word atmosphere in Fari's writing. Do you know this morning there's an atmosphere that makes it conducive for those kind of things to happen? It makes it so that young people can testify. I want them to feel that liberty this morning. I would like to see more liberty like that. I would like for you to have more of the liberty of the Spirit of God in our midst. I'm not talking about just deciding, well, I'm going to do this, but being moved by the Lord. You know, as we pray together and we interweave our prayers and we work together and we refuse to allow the things that would be negative to stop that. I want to say one more thing, I suppose, before we get down. You know, one thing I have learned from gardening, and it has really taught me a lesson. You can do everything right, and if you don't keep the pest away and the disease away, it'll destroy the best of crops. You have to destroy, you have to keep those things at bay all the time. You have to always be on the guard, always watching your garden. Because if something gets going and you don't stop it, it'll destroy what's there. And it can be so good when we keep it clean and keep it nice. I urge us to do that in our congregation. I love every one of you. I believe with I don't know how I could hardly love all of you anymore. Let's pray that the Lord would weave our lives together like that. Amen.